make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. 1-2-3-2-2-9-3-6-6-3. Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. We're here to empower you. That's what we do on Herb Talk. Thanks for joining us on American Voice Radio. We got a great show. I can't believe, though, April is toast. Seriously, the next time I'm here with you, it'll be May. Wow. All right. We're going to be talking about how old is old. You know, the older you get, younger people looking at you saying, you're kind of old, aren't you? Well, we're going to investigate that. And we're also going to talk about elective surgeries and some other things. We'll see how the hour goes. We got lots of stuff here. But before we get into that in the Quack Report, I want to remind folks that if you are interested in signing up for the Natural Vision Workshop, if you want to improve your vision issues naturally, John Monroe from Dr. Banker's Group is going to be in the Charlotte, North Carolina area July 26th. He is going to be at the Embassy Suites Hotel on Tryon Street, South Tryon Street. And they're going to be there having conducting this workshop with your very own personal self-help vision care kit, which I have. It's awesome. And from 10 to 6 p.m., so it's an all-day kind of workshop. You have a little break for lunch. And if you're interested, you need to get in contact with John Monroe and tell him that you want to go. You go to the website DR for doctor, drbanker, BANKER.com, or you give them a call at 303-494-4532. That's Mountain Time in Boulder, Colorado. 303-494-4532. Tell them you heard it right here, and I hope you get to go. And if you can't, just, you know, get you a kit and use it at home. It's awesome stuff. What else we got? Coming up in May, Dr. Carly is going to be with us on the 20th. So she'll be here on the 20th. That's the third Tuesday in May. And you know what? Mother's Day is coming up. Good. All kinds of neat things. Graduation, spring. Loving it. All right. Before we do the Quack Report, big salute and Semper Fi. We're praying for all righteous men and women in uniform. We're praying for righteous men and women in America. We're praying for people to have some standing, some backbone, some courage. Hey, I want to read you this quote from Abraham Lincoln. He had a speech in 1838. He says this, get this, he says, all the armies of Europe, Asia, and Africa combined, with all the treasure of the earth, are own excepted. And the military chest, with Bonaparte for a commander, could not by force take a drink from the Ohio or make a track on the Blue Ridge in the trail of 1,000 years. At what point, then, is the approach of danger to be expected? I answer, if it ever reach us, it must spring up amongst us. It cannot come from abroad. If destruction be our lot, we must ourselves be its author and finisher. As a nation of freemen, we must live through all time or die by suicide. Yeah, I guess the suicide of America is what we're witnessing from within. Unless we want to do something about that, we're going to have some supernatural help to steady us, to give us courage, give us strength, to give us guidance and counsel. And I hope you'll mind the time, seek the Lord's face, for it grows short. And without further ado, let's do the Quack Report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, what do we got in the Quacker? Here's something really shocking, a new research. It was published in the 2014 issue of Otolaryngology, Head and Neck Surgery. Researchers from Penn State University and several other institutions learn that despite the popularity of tonsillectomies, as many as 20% of adult patients who undergo the surgery suffer complications, including postoperative hemorrhaging. That's right. So 6% have the hemorrhaging problem after surgery, 11% have pain in the ear, nose, and throat area even within 2 weeks of the surgery, 2% are treated with dehydration. And these percentages, they were found to be significantly higher than what was previously assumed for the procedure. So, you know, tonsillectomies on average cost about $3,800, but you get the complications, it goes to like $6,300 in a skinny minute. And most patients, they're unaware of the true risks that are associated with the tonsillectomy procedure because, you know, the data's been around for a while. People don't investigate it, though, and none of it's really been seriously looked at and published in a review. So people, you know, think that, you know, since it's not a new procedure, it's been around for many years, kind of common medical practice, that it's safe. And that's just not the case. What about that kid lives in New York? I can't remember where it was. She died from a tonsillectomy 2 days later. Mm-hmm. Hey, it's an invasive procedure, see. Always do your homework, folks. Moving along in the Quack Report. General Mills has a disclaimer like no other. They had some recent changes to their legal fine print on the General Mills products. Okay, so even if you go on their website and you download a coupon or you're on their Facebook page and you click like, apparently they're alerting consumers that that changes everything legally. So if you had an interest previously in their products, if you liked them on Facebook,
that negates your legal basis for claims, apparently. You have to go through arbitration. You can't sue them. Well, yeah, that's what they're claiming. Not only does the fine print state that if a consumer joins them on social media, or if they want to download a product or join a sweepstakes or contest that they're hosting, you'll be forced to go to arbitration instead of to court if you have an issue, damages made by one of their products, using one of their products. They've updated their privacy policy on their website. They say, please note, we have new legal terms which require all disputes related to the purchase or use of a General Mills product or service to be resolved through binding arbitration. Hey, like them apples. Now, Julia Duncan, director of the federal programs and arbitration expert for the American Association for Justice, she says this, it's essentially trying to protect the company from all accountability, even when it lies or, say, an employee deliberately adds broken glass to their product, end of quote. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, don't they have product liability insurance? Seriously. All right, moving along in the Quack Report. Here's a report on the three common medical procedures that can ruin your health long term. The top of the list is chemotherapy. Apparently, researchers from Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center in Seattle, Washington, observed the effects of chemotherapy on healthy cell tissue, found that it damages the DNA of the healthy non-cancer cell, which in turn causes it to produce molecules that in turn produce more cancer cells. Even worse, they found that the other major side effect is the procedure will cause cancer cells that are there to grow more of violent or virulent, and with each treatment, in other words, they become super cancer cells, and the chemotherapy is non-effective. Just, you know, kills you from the back door, basically. The other two medical procedures that ruin long-term health are vaccines. Of course, you've been listening to Dr. Carly on the show, so you know that. And antibiotics. Antibiotics, that term means against life. Need I say more? And last but not least, in the Quack Report, here's some new medical microchips. We've been talking about chips lately, but now they're going to be implanted by 2017, and I bet you anything that because of the Obamacare, that it's going to be mandatory to be chipped to get a delivery of drugs to your system. That's right. Chips with drug reservoirs be implanted directly underneath your skin, so you get your dose, you don't skip your dose, you don't mess with your dose. See, you don't know how to dose yourself, so they're going to take control of that, whether it's birth control pills or heart medicines. The implanted chip is designed to be remote controlled by a governed medical professional. Let's hope so, and it's not somebody on Obama's panel. Chipped individuals won't be able to wean themselves off of the side effects from these drugs. It'll be programmed time release drugs day after day, year after year, at a person's directive. So new microchip controls for fertility is going to be a wireless communication. So Medicare requires businesses to provide this. So micro reservoir technology is developed by Massachusetts Institute of Technology. It's been around since the 90s, but now it's evolved into an implantable chip designed to release your drugs to your body by wireless signal. They're going to have this for the osteoporosis drugs to be constantly delivered for at least 4 months at a time. They're going to also microchip deliver your birth control. And they can actually design chips to deliver drugs for a straight 16 years. Uh-huh. So according to a company called Microchip, the first installments are going to deliver drugs for up to about 5 years, and then they're going to mature into the long-term delivery. They think they can make chips to deliver a constant dose for as long as 16 years. And the device can even transmit data back to hospitals and your doctors, and they could have the blow-by-blow on your permanent medical records exactly when you got your dose. And by the way, the first drug tablet pill was developed in 1876. We've come a long way, right? And that wraps the Quack Report. I don't know about y'all, but that just scares me to death. Is, you know, somebody going to chip you and remotely? I mean, think about this. Can someone hack into your remote dose? Could somebody, like, dose the, you know, what out of you in a, like, a 24-hour period and you're overdosed and it's, oops, my bad? I don't know. I'm asking a question. You know, birth control chips being hacked. And you get too much of, you know, the birth control stuff and your hormones go haywire and all of a sudden you're giant walking tumor. I'm just asking the question. Okay. Well, we're going to move along and answer maybe some questions on how old is old, you know? My kids think I'm old. They do. The older they get, the older I am, see? Now, as the age of the population increases, many experts in health and even finance wonder how it will be possible to care for so many aging people. Now, Japan is said to have the highest concentration of elderly, a quarter of the population. That's like almost 32 million people. Now, the study of aging is not new. The scientific term is gerontology, which comes from the Greek meaning the study of old man. We also get the term geriatrics from this. So the context or the concept of gerontology incorporates several fields, biology, medicine, and science, sociology, and psychiatry, and so forth. Everything that, you know, affects aging. So I have to ask, is the answer to our aging population more social programs, maybe? Why are social programs already in place not enough? Why aren't they meeting needs? And how do we define old age and do not individually have any power to, you know, do we have any individual power to slow the aging process? There's a question. How can we do that and how can we stay healthier? Well, we're going to find out. That's what we're going to do. First, we're going to defining what is old, according to biologists, defining old age, not an easy thing. Now, biologists don't agree. Yes, there are general references to describing the elderly, you know, like final stage of their lifespan or they're retired. Those are very general terms, generic terms. But there is more to it than a birth date and being unemployed. So cultures have several different qualifying characteristics of being old. Now, biologists are not even in agreement as to the biological cause of aging. And it's speculated that lifespan is already dictated in our genes or blood or other experts are suggesting that the lifespan is really influenced, you know, more by our lifestyle. Now, the latter may have some weight to it, because cultural studies indicate that lifestyle affects not only the severity of certain diseases like cancer, diabetes, and heart disease, but also the existence of them. So can old age be defined by a number? While the Western countries, they seem to have a starting range to old age beginning at 65, you know, your typical retirement age and, you know, the qualification for your social programs. However, other countries may define old age as starting in the mid-40s to even up to 70 years of age. So history tells us that in medieval Europe, the average lifespan was 30 years. You know, by today's standards, a 30-year-old is kind of considered in their prime. So with modern conveniences and better hygiene, the life expectancy obviously improved. Well, let's get physical with this, because scientists kind of boil old age down to a lot of genetics and physiological conditions like, you know, cognitive function and chronic ailments. So medical care is not getting less expensive. So another indicator used to determine old age is how much are you spending on your medical care? Now, technology and the advancements may offer medical advancements to help the elderly, but it also it's kind of a double-edged sword that can reduce the status of the elderly in society when they don't keep up with the technology-oriented world. So this can outstrip the elderly of employment opportunities and even threaten their retirement. Now, financial preparation for retirement has become increasingly more challenging in modern society because the nucleus of the family has been under attack in modern times, and it's changed the identity and function of the family. You know, a mere 100 years ago, a family unit really contained several generations living nearby, and they helped each other out. Today, a modern family is spread out, leaving older family members more isolated. Now, the older we get, the less likely we are to pull up roots and want to move. And modern technology has made the family unit more mobile and dispersed. So the most that aging parents can hope for these days is to live within an hour or two drive of one of their children. And a niche market has sprung up to fill this gap. It's called assisted living homes. So the expectations of retirement living are changing quickly in the industrialized societies. Now, the 40-year-olds today will have a very different retirement from those retiring right now. So the quality of life and the role that they will play in society is yet to be defined. See how things are changing. Now, let's talk about some of the biological influences quickly. Lately, research has indicated that life expectancy may be linked to the blood. So red blood cells carry oxygen, white blood cells, they defend us from disease. So the white blood cells also have something extra, a nuclei. So there are approximately 5 million red blood cells for every half a cup of blood, and they have a lifespan of about 120 days. And then there are 3,000 to 7,000 white blood cells per half a cup of blood, and they have a lifespan of 2 days to 2 years, depending on the type of the cell. Now, red blood cells, they have the same shape. They're kind of round, and they look like a shallow bowl. Now they can kind of squish and squeeze, to get through, crevices and small type spaces, but then they pop back into shape. But white blood cells, they have different shapes, which depend on their function, and they don't change shape to squeeze by. They don't. So according to some new research in New Scientist and Medical Daily, the scientists think that they are honing in on the secret to longevity. Now, science has turned its attention onto the tissue in the blood, and more specifically, the white blood stem cells. Now, they think that these cells exhaust themselves and can't be replaced, and this is when we technically meet our maker. And this is why science is so intent on stem cell research and their hope to fool creation and to fend off death indefinitely. And scientists want to do more than just control when people die. They want to abolish disease altogether. And if they can establish a way to replenish the stem cells and the ends of these cells called telomeres, well, they think they can promote a disease-free life for most people. However, stem cells and telomere, well, they require healthy DNA. And lately, human DNA is under attack by toxins and GMOs and a host of other substances that tend to mutate our cells. So we must keep in mind, what science achieves in the lab may not be possible in the field. Got to keep that in mind. All right, so you know what I'm not waiting for? I'm not one to wait around for science or for the government to discover answers to better my health when I have that power right now. Yes, I do. Everyone does. So research is pointing to the blood for longevity and health, and that makes a lot of sense. Healthy bones make healthy blood, so protecting your bones will be extremely important, right? And I use the calcium-rich plants to do that, not animal calcium, because our bodies like to absorb calcium for strong, healthy bones, but it needs boron and magnesium to do that. So green vegetables and fruits and herbs have that perfect ratio and the ability to fortify the body with that natural calcium. So animal calcium doesn't have those minerals necessary for the calcium to be absorbed. So another important fact that I've discovered is that keeping the blood clean after the bones make it is also important. So the blood can become laden with impurities and fail to carry oxygen and iron and other nutrients throughout the body. So I find that cleansing the blood is a must. So if you would like organic herbal calcium liquid that's made from herbs, or if you're interested in herbal cleansing products, you might want to contact the experts in immune boosting and organ cleansing, and that would be the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They have a toll-free number, and that is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. Their international number is 704-885-0277, 704-885-0277. Of course, their website is thepowerherbs.com. Hey, you can get over there just typing in herbtalklive.com. And that's where your healthcare options just became endless. Now, once you get there, you might want to check out their new customer point reward program. Just went into effect this week, so you can save on your herbal products. You can check out the details. Some the details are on the herb medicine options page. So click on the green button in the top hand corner, and you can find out more about that plan there. Basically, in a nutshell, you have to set up an account in order to get your point rewards, okay, because the program tracks all the points and helps you redeem them on your purchases to save more money. So it's a new points reward, so like for every dollar you spend, you get a point, and then you can redeem those points whenever you want. You can you know, save them and save them all up and then redeem them and get some big chunk of change off your bill. So that's awesome. You know, to get organic, certified organic products, non-HMO, no synthetic products, to better your health and save money. I mean, it's just another way to save money. You know, it's on thepowerherbs.com. Check it out. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
"007, your assignment is to find out what herb secrets herbalist Wendy Wilson has on Herb Talk Live.
make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Wendy Wilson, and we're going to be talking about elective surgeries. Are you thinking about that? Do you have to have an elective surgery? Well, you know, we're going to kind of cover that topic. You know, do your homework, obviously, but the experts believe that, you know, every adult at some point is going to face a decision to have some sort of elective surgery at least once in their lifetime. So elective surgery is not just about, you know, cosmetic surgery, you know, facelifts and that kind of thing, nose jobs. It's not about that always. It also encompasses the three most popular surgeries that are done in America today. The world of surgery is a big business. Average 70 million Americans having elective surgery each year. Now, these surgeries, are they necessary? Well, according to Dr. Thomas Russell of the American College of Surgeons, the answer is no. Well, let's check it out. So why do they call it standardized medicine? And, you know, according to Dr. Russell, no surgery is minor, not even those tonsillectomies we were covering in the Quack Report, because in some parts of the United States, they all overdo certain surgical procedures, while in other areas, patients have to kind of jump through hoops in order to get qualified for non-emergency surgery. So differences such as this, you know, make you wonder about allopathic medicine when they say it's standardized. I don't think so. Now, there is no consistency, especially when it comes to your elective surgery area. Kind of makes you wonder what the World Health Organization thinks. Perhaps that's one reason why they want to usher in this harmonization healthcare code all over the world, you know, kind of control surgery as well as food and everything else. So the areas which have physicians scheduling unnecessary surgeries would actually be forced to comply with the World Health Organization's standardized harmonization code. So how this will affect insurance and healthcare, well, we all know what's, where healthcare is going, but definitely it is going to make some changes. Harmonization is going to be, you know, pretty sterilized, basically, pretty sterilized. Well, let's look at these three most popular surgeries that are done. It's not a facelift or a nose job or breast augmentation. Those aren't the three most popular elective surgeries. The three that we're talking about in the United States are knee, back, and sinus surgeries. These are the most popular procedures. And are they safe and or necessary? And is there another way to deal with these areas? Well, let's talk about the knees first. Americans do opt to have 13 million knee surgeries annually. That's how many are done in the U.S. Osteoarthritis is the number one cause for the knee surgery. So knee joints wear out and cause pain and loss of mobility. And like laser eye surgery, you're supposed to have to be a good candidate for such knee surgery. Now, statistically, one in four people are good candidates. Therefore, a minimum of 500,000 people are accepted for knee replacement surgery each year. And 500,000 people have metal, plastic, and porcelain joints surgically installed with a 90% supposed success rate. So recovery is kind of long and slow. It's about a 12-month process, includes lots of, you know, physical therapy. And for those who are not good candidates, insurance isn't going to cover the expense. So you'd have to do it out of pocket or just forget the knee replacement surgery altogether. And you want to be real careful of the fallback option that medicine may offer you if you're not a good candidate. That's the arthroscopy type of surgery. This second choice is a procedure where a surgeon attempts to clear away debris caused by bone rubbing on bone and to smooth out the joint to reduce friction and pain. But studies are suggesting this treatment is not effective in advanced arthritis cases. So more than 650 million Americans try the orthoscopic option every year, and according to the experts, orthoscopic surgery is the most abused field of medicine and has acquired the name surgery sham. So do your homework before you go for surgery, or you could wake up from a procedure which was never performed properly, and you basically got a very expensive set of stitches there. Now let's go to the back surgery. The experts tell us that most adults can expect to experience at least one form of spine abnormality. The most common problem is that slipped or bulging or ruptured herniated disc. Everyone has 25 vertebrae that are filled with fluid, you know, discs in between to cushion the bone, to keep the vertebrae in line. Sometimes, you know, talking with your physician about this, you know, you can get a better grasp of the pros and cons if your surgeon is going to be upfront with you. So make sure you ask the right questions, because when you talk to some of these doctors, it's like talking to a government employee. It's all about how you ask the question. What most people don't know about having slipped discs, you know, these doctors don't volunteer certain information. 90% of the cases recover without any surgical intervention. It may take 6 to 12 months, but you can recover by resting, no strenuous activity, and using anti-inflammatory type of medicines. And for more serious back cases, you know, maybe if a laminectomy has to be done, you might want to do your research on that as well to make sure that you get a good surgeon who knows how to do that without destroying nerves and spinal cords. So real important there. But, you know, basically a lot of it doesn't need surgery. All right, next one, sinuses. Sinus surgery is a growing field with about 30 million having sinus surgeries. Chronic sinus conditions, inflamed air pockets behind the cheek and brow, filling with mucus, cause a lot of pain and headache and congestion. According to New York sinus specialist Dr. Jordan Jefferson, a sinus surgery is not a cure because it doesn't resolve the cause of the sinusitis. The main causes are allergies and diet, he says. Sinus surgery attempts to make sinusitis more tolerable. Now be careful when you consider this type of surgery because this surgery is real close to facial nerves, your eye and brain, and you can have damage done there if your surgeon slips. About 1% of the cases, that's what happens. And they just found out that other than diet causing the sinus inflamed tissue, it's not the inflamed tissue that's the problem. It's the mucus that's the problem. So you're doing something that causes a mucus in the system, and usually it's dairy or wheat products. Okay, so now you've got the knee, the back, the sinuses, you know, going, and there's always other options. I do hope you research them. If you're looking for herbs to help you with sinusitis so you can get off the antibiotics, which is a perpetual sinus infection issue if you're on those drugs, then you may want to check out some herbs that help and also adjust the diet. If you're looking for assistance there, the folks at Apothecary Herbs have a great formula called Echinacea Deluxe. For anti-inflammatories, they do have some herbal formulas for that if you want to get off the drugs on non-steroidal areas. And definitely you want to make sure you have strong bone, muscle, and connective tissue, and getting the right kind of cartilage building nutrients is going to go a long way. So check out their calcium liquid there, and you'll be amazed what God's good herbs can do for you. Definitely. All right, what else do we got? We are going to be talking about, well, here's a little topic. It's titled, We Strain Out a Gnat, But We Swallow a Camel. Yeah, what are we missing here? A lot of medical doctors and scientists are telling us that we have now moved into a phase of life-threatening bacteria because of the serious reality that, you know, these are all bacteria that are now resistant to the drugs that medicine has to throw at them. So once we wrap our brain around that reality, and some of these diseases, these bacteria are very much, you know, life-threatening. What do we do? Well, Dr. Tom Frieden, director of the CDC, he indicated that the last course of major antibiotics are now having no effect on patients. They're trying to treat killer bacteria as a pandemic, he says. It's beginning to take shapes because of the inexcusable overuse of antibiotics. This is true. You know, in the 1940s, the antibiotics rolled off, and they were called wonder drugs. Yep, a cure-all, a panacea of bacterial infections. That's what they were known for. And the drug was given by the press, the media, and it was absolutely the perfect name, they said. And why did they say it was perfect? Well, because now scientists, physicians, and the public are actually wondering how we're going to get out of this predicament we're in. So scientific medicine created a quick fix to defeat a bacterial infection with antibiotics, but traded this temporary convenience for a massive, untreatable bacteria pandemic now in the making. So we strained out a gnat, and we swallowed a camel. Do you see the irony there? Now, I'm not negating that, you know, antibiotics have saved lives. It's just the inexcusable overuse of them that has put us in this position. So, you know, there's lots of ways to die, and drug-resistant bacteria are not one or two strains that we have to worry about. We got 70 of them. 70 different species of drug-resistant killer bacteria. And what is so unsettling is that these particular species live in water. They live in dirt. And they live in our digestive tract, you know, E. coli. So as medicine has treated various bacterial infections over the last 80 years, the treatment has changed the bacteria, and it retreats into its drug-resistant armor, and it continues to thrive. Now, in some cases, it lives on the antibiotics now. It's like feeding it. So in the last 10 years, the number of drug-resistant species of bacteria has grown by over 30%. So we're all at serious risk. So who is at risk of acquiring some of these super-resistant bacteria? Well, it seems that you are at risk if you are being medically treated at a hospital or a rehab center, if you're in a wound burn treatment center or any long-term acute care facility, like even a nursing home. So usually when patients are in these types of facilities, they receive catheters or ventilators, which can be breeding grounds for the bacteria, and it can transfer them from patient to patient. And I recently did a report on a lot of these hospitals aren't following protocol on sterilizing these type of pieces of equipment that are reused. With the budgets being so tight in hospitals now, they're reusing disposable items, and they're not cleaning them properly. So when bacteria are introduced into the body through these types of devices, it is able really to travel very deep into the patient's body. So most patients will already be on at least one antibiotic, and that tends to strip away any good bacteria. It suppresses their immune system, reducing their protection. And this, of course, offers the perfect environment for the enterobacterias to multiply and take over. So the old and the very young are not the only targets of the superbacterias. Everyone is at risk, and only 6 states are actively reporting that these bacterial cases to the public health authorities, which isn't good. So bacteria can spread by many ways: physical contact with your doctors, your nurses, your hospital equipment, your surfaces, etc. And hospitals in Israel, they tend to try to cut the spread of bacteria strains, and they've done really well. They've cut the transmission of these bacterial strains by 70% with improving their sanitation and with better precautions and patient protocols. So when a patient is transferred or comes into the hospital, there's this super bacteria protocol checklist they go over. Now, Florida has a higher percentage of retired Americans, and their facilities have in the past been ravaged with bacterial infections, but they have reduced the spread of bacteria by about 44% to almost 0% in some of their hospitals, and they've controlled this because of their precautions: lots of hand washing, identified infected patients early, isolate them from other patients to reduce the spread, and even making sure that they're using the proper antibiotics. Okay, so they have a protocol list too. However, hospitals are not the only place that we're going to be at risk. You could go back to the graduate student Amy Copeland, who a few years back, she wasn't in a hospital environment. She had an accident on a field trip. She cut her leg, fell into the Georgia River, and developed that flesh-eating bacteria infection there. Remember, it lives in water now, because people are, throwing their antibiotics down the sewer, and it gets into the water system, and there you go. Now, also, there are some exotic names that we have for some of these bacteria. Some of the names that hospitals are giving these super bacteria can be quite exotic, like New Delhi Metello Beta Lama Mace, or Verona Intragran Medicated Metello Beta Lamatase. Sheesh. Now, since last July, 15 of the 37 common superbacterial species have been reported. In 2011, there was only 18 patients in Maryland, in a hospital in Maryland. They became infected with a superbacteria called Kellispella pneumoniae, and 7 of them died. But unknowingly, the hospital accepted the infected patient in a transfer from a New York hospital. That's how they got infected. They didn't have a patient transfer protocol set up to identify infected patients when they came in. So will scientific medicine, do you think they'll be able to pull a rabbit out of the hat again and save us all from the superbacterias? It's doubtful. Even if they proclaim a new miracle drug, would you have to wonder if it will have any devastating repercussions down the road? Well, I was asked how many of these bacterial species were lab created. Well, it's hard to say because scientists don't know how many different kinds of natural bacteria exist on Earth. However, they estimate between 10 million and a billion. Now, in 2011, the cost to sequence a bacterial genome cost $500,000, and it takes several months to complete that. So it's estimated that there are about 20,000 species of bacteria in 1 liter of ocean water. In soil samples in the 1960s, they were able to document 16,000 species of bacteria. But since then, science has determined that there's approximately 1 million dominant and low abundance bacterial species in just 1 gram of soil. Think about that next time you're getting your green thumb on, right? So how long does it take to cultivate a bacteria? Well, science, some species can double their numbers in just 20 minutes. Bacteria is kind of like dust mites, and they are everywhere. And what scientists have done with common bacteria in the lab, well, that's anyone's guess what they're tinkering with there. Now, the scientific wizards have gotten us into this mess, but they will not be the ones to bring us out of it. One reason is that pharmaceutical companies are not developing any new antibiotics for bacteria. Instead, they're making antiviral drugs. So what are we going to do? Well, personally, I plan to strengthen my own natural immune system with some of God's good herbs, and that's kind of like, you know, the poor man's antibiotic, basically, and it's going to include lots of garlic. Garlic is naturally antibacterial and antiviral, and which, you know, superbacteria are really not resistant to it, okay? So layer in some other immune-boosting herbs. You can use some echinacea and astragalus root to power up your immune system, make it help make more killer T cells and macrophages to defend you. And you can develop more lifelong immunity that way and pass it on to your children. So I definitely believe what the Lord says, that herbs are here for the service of man and herbs are meat. You can check that out in Psalms 104:14 and Genesis 1:29-30. And so before I believe a pharmaceutical cartel, I'm going to believe Almighty God, you know, that's just me. But you can stock up and save on all kinds of immune boosting products at the powerherbs.com website. They got a ton of the stuff there. And now you got a couple of ways to save. You know, some folks don't like to set up, you know, accounts. They're kind of private, and that's fine. So you can go to, you can click on the HMO, the Herb Medicine Options button, and there you'll have a series of discount codes that you can copy and put into your shopping cart and save. For those who don't mind setting up an account where it's just going to ask for your name and demographic information, it's not going to ask for any of your payment information to be stored. We don't do that there. But you could just, for convenience sake, if you don't want to type all that stuff in when you shop on the powerherbs.com website, you can set up an account and you'll automatically qualify for your points program, points rewards, and you can redeem those when you want to. And so every dollar you spend, you get a point. And then I think it takes 15 points to get a dollar off your order. So you can accumulate those and save money and use them when you want to. Now, you can't use your points with your coupons. So it's one or the other, and but we're finding several ways to help you save, make you more comfortable, and help you save, and as you get familiar using some natural products to strengthen your system and work with your natural ability to resist disease, that's what it's all about. So you go to thepowerherbs.com or give them a call, and you could get a free product catalog at 866-229-3663. All right, we got a few minutes, and a few minutes it is. Basically, I've been asked a question. What do I think about raw milk? You know, do I think it's healthy? Well, you know, before the Industrial Revolution, people consumed tons of raw milk. You know, farming methods changed, though, and milk went from a farming method to a factory method. So people moved away from farms and the agricultural lifestyle, and they didn't own a cow, which they could go out and milk every day. So it really depends on who you ask whether raw milk is healthy or bad for you. So raw milk contains proteins, good bacteria, enzymes, and hormones made from phosphoproteins, natural stuff. And the pasteurization purposely removes those proteins. And why is that? Well, the phosphoprotein is sold as fillers for other foods like ice cream. And it's used in manufacturing of products like fabrics and adhesives and even plastic. So they strip it out of there because they make more money selling it to other industries, you see. Just like stripping your salt from all the 84 minerals and selling it to other industries for more money, see. See, if you want to know how this works, it's called follow the money. So why would the dairy industry want to include the phosphoprotein in your milk when it can be sold for more money to other industries, right? So the pasteurized milk product also has reduced amounts of vitamin B6 and especially vitamin C. Now, Sally Fallon, founder of the Weston Price Foundation, she says this about pasteurization of milk. She said, pasteurization destroys enzymes, diminishes vitamin content, denatures fragile milk proteins, destroys vitamin B12, kills beneficial bacteria, promotes pathogens, and is associated with allergies, increased tooth decay, colic in infants, growth problems in children, osteoporosis, arthritis, heart disease, and cancer. End of quote. Wow. So, is raw milk better? You decide after all that. Hey, I'm out of time, but I'll be back Thursday. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure a disease. So seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician, if you dare, before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, be well.